When my son was about 13 or 14 years old, we cooked a casserole in the oven, and we went to get it out, and he grabbed the casserole dish to put it up on top of the stove, but he did not have oven mitts on. So you can imagine, he grabs hold of that thing, and he just stands there. And I'm like, put it down, put it down! And he finally throws it up there, and he's got these third-degree blisters on his fingers. And you can imagine what we said to him. What were you thinking? Exactly. Obviously, he wasn't really thinking about all of that. He just wanted to help. He just wanted to help. So there was no grounding. There was no getting in trouble. His hands were all burned up. And so it's just, what were you thinking? And it made me think about some of the TV shows that I see on TV, and I'm going, what are y'all thinking? Well, that's disgusting. And if you've ever been on the internet very long at all, the people of Walmart make no sense. I mean, some of the stuff that they wear, it's like, nobody checked them on the way out because it's disgusting. And I have to get a barf bag sometimes when I go into Walmart because you never know. Just think, what were you thinking? Have your parents ever asked you that? On multiple occasions, right? What were you thinking? I think we're all guilty of that. It's really just a mental breakdown. It's funny how you can say mental breakdown and then mental illness and people get all worked up. You have a mental illness. No, I don't. I had a mental breakdown. Oh, okay. Potato, patata, whatever, you know, whatever makes you feel better. It's funny how those words kind of get there. But I look in the Bible and I see all kinds of times when the heroes of the Bible had mental breakdowns. I want to show you one. I'm going to tell you what was happening here. Elijah is one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. He makes no sense to me sometimes, but he takes on 450 prophets of Baal. He says, me and God taking on all of you because I've had enough of this. If you're going to serve God, serve him. If you're not going to serve him, then don't. But we've had enough. We're taking care of this about who's the real God and who's not. So he said, you prophets of Baal, you go out here and you cut up this bull, you put it all over your altar, and then you pray to the God of Baal, and whoever answers by fire, he's the one who's the real God. And they're like, yeah, we got this. 450 prophets of Baal start praying and chanting and just doing all these kinds of things, and all of a sudden, nothing happens. And nothing happens. So long, 3 hours in, Elijah starts to make fun of them. That is awesome. It's in the Bible, we can do it, right? Now, they're sitting there and he's going, you need to scream louder. Perhaps he can't hear you. Maybe he's on vacation. He's pretty busy, you know. So they're like, oh, we know what we'll do. We'll cut ourselves because we're smart. We'll put blood on the altar. He's like, cut deeper. Come on. That's not enough blood. You got this. Cut away. It's going to be awesome. So after hours and hours and hours of them chanting and making idiots of themselves, he finally said, that's enough. That's it. So he prepares his altar. He puts the bull on the top of it. He says, now he digs a big old moat around his altar. He says, now put some water on it. And you're thinking, hey, wait a minute. Water and fire, no mixie. Right? And he says, pour some water on that. So they pour a whole bunch of water on it. He goes, that's not enough. Get the hose. Hose it down till the moat's filled up and there's water everywhere. And he's thinking, oh boy, what's going to happen here? At that moment, you better be sure that your God's going to answer. Because there's 450 really upset prophets of Baal who are all cut up and everything now, exhausted, that if this doesn't work, what are you going to do? So he says, God, if you're the God, then answer by fire. And I mean this fire comes down. It says, I love that it says it licked it up. Who wouldn't? It's a ribeye. I mean, it's like, God was like, I like it. And it says it got the stones, it got the water, it got everything gone. So you think, what a victorious moment. What a huge victorious moment. I mean, I would be feeling really good about myself at that point. And then he says, hey, get all the prophets of Baal and kill them all. So that's awesome. I know. It's in the Bible. So he says, kill them all. So they go killing them all and everything. And then he's done. He's pretty sure he's exhausted. and then Jezebel. Jezebel runs her mouth. And I'm going to look at this so that you don't think I'm making it up. 1 Kings 19, 1-4. Ahab was the king at the time, and his wife was Jezebel. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. You know what? Shut your pie hole, Jezebel. I just whacked 450. You're next. I mean, that's what I'd be thinking. Just shut up. You're next. I'm tired of hearing your mouth. And look what Elijah does, the great prophet. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life from one woman. You ladies are more powerful than you think. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. What just happened? A mental breakdown, yes. He had this mental breakdown where he just completely took over all these prophets of Baal. One lady screams a threat at him, and he's like, ah, I just want to die. I can't do it anymore, God. Mental breakdown. We can deal with a lot of types of breakdowns, can't we? But not mental. We know how to deal with a broken leg. We know how to deal with cancer, diabetes. We know all these kinds of things. They don't threaten us. They don't get to us. Not like a broken mind does. All of a sudden, you got somebody with a broken mind or a broken heart or broken emotions, and we don't know what to do with them. We have no idea what to do with these type of people because we're kind of, all that we know how to do is should all over them. I said should. You should do this and you should do that and you should do this and you should do that. So we just should all over them and nothing happens. You can use that. It's funny. You're going to get home and kids, I'll tell you what, I'm going to should all over you if you don't behave yourself. I'll tell you what. That's all we have this. That's all we know what to do with them. Well, what happens when we have spiritual? I think the church maybe is in the middle of a humongous, giant spiritual mental breakdown. And we don't know what to do. We're just kind of stuck. What do we do? What do we believe? I don't know. We just got to keep going. We'll figure it out. While all around us, the world's going to hell. I watched this. Matt Walsh did this video. What is a woman? Nobody in the United States, the experts, could answer it. Or they wouldn't answer it. It's a really simple answer that I'm not going to have. I mean, you can go to Kindergarten Cop, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and find out what the answer to that is. The little kid will tell you. And for the sake of radio, we won't do it. Right? So we're not going to. But it's a simple question. They couldn't answer it. They went to other countries. Asked them, what's a woman? Oh, this is a woman. And they told them what was happening in the United States, and they went, crazy loco. You're crazy. It's happening here. It's not happening everywhere else. Those other people were like, if we had a person like that, we would put them away. If they don't know what a woman is, if they're confused about what their gender is, it's just kind of a little bit different. So they weren't really believing all that kind of stuff. And so there's kind of some mental things that are going on. So what's the ramifications of spiritual mental breakdowns? Well, let's look at why would Paul tell us to put on the armor of God? For some kind of protection. Let's look at it in Ephesians. I'm not going to look at the whole thing, but Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 is the armor of God. But I want to look at one part of it there in verse, I think, 16. It's just kind of interesting to me. Verse 16 says, in addition to all this, he's talking about the armor, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, that sounds pretty crazy. But what does that even mean? How do you explain that to your kid? What you need to do, son, is take the shield of faith so that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil. Don't tell him that before you go to bed. The devil's shooting arrows at me, and they're flaming, and it's terrible. What does it even mean? Well, back then, they had the shield, and it was usually about a 2x4, 2 foot by 4 foot, and they would have it, and it was made of soft wood. Okay? And the reason that they had it made of soft wood, and it was wet down, they put water all over it. The reason they did that is when they would shoot an arrow that was on fire, and so when it would hit that shield, it would sink into the wood, and guess what would happen? The fire would go out. And then you got free arrows. Right? And so you can pull that arrow out, and you got the bunch of free arrows. And so they would guard themselves like that. So what in the world is Paul talking about? All I heard was Satan shooting a bunch of arrows at me. I'm supposed to have a shield of faith. I don't even know what a shield of faith looks like, but I want one. Especially if he's shooting arrows that are on fire. So what does this even mean? So we need to kind of figure out a little bit, what does that mean? In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, he's talking about warfare. And he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish strongholds in every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So he's talking about this is, we're in a war. You don't put on armor to go to work. That's weird. Unless you work at medieval times or something. Right? The reason we need armor is because we're in a war. And we were always going to be in a war. From the time you accept Christ, you will be in a war until you get to heaven. Now, there's one difference between the peace that is on the outside and a peace that's on the inside. We can be at war and have a peace on the inside. I was in Desert Storm. And after a little bit, after we got done with the fear and we realized we were winning pretty big, there was no longer the fear on the outside. There was this peace that kind of came over us, knowing that we're gonna take care of business here. And it was easier for me because I was in the helicopters and we just shoot missiles from way far back. And we would write nasty messages to Saddam on the missiles. It was fun. It was fun. "Dear Saddam, here's where this is going." Right? And then sometimes they'd come back and they didn't shoot the missile, so we had to race it. Oh, gosh, you know, we get in trouble. And so there's this peace that can happen in the midst of wartime on the inside that it will calm you down and you could actually function properly. And we don't have to be afraid of this war that's going on because he has given us weapons. It says to demolish strongholds. Is it physical strongholds? Apparently not. We're not talking about these physical things. He says that we could take captive what? Our thoughts. Take captive our thoughts. Everything we ever do in our life starts with a thought. Everything that we ever do starts with a thought. So maybe all these arrows are thoughts that Satan is shooting. He's shooting them at us, and these thoughts come in, and the thoughts come in, and they keep coming in, and there's got to be a reason for this armor that he has made for us. In Ephesians 6:11, he talks about that reason for that armor is so we can stand against the schemes and strategies of the devil. This is not a physical war. How many of you have ever got hit by a real arrow that Satan shot at you? You want to talk about being mentally ill? Go to the hospital with that. What's in your rear end? It's an arrow from Satan. He shot his fiery darts, and my face shield wasn't up. Come into this room. We'll take care of you. Right? Nobody. So there's got to be this spiritual thing that is happening here. So these strategies, did you know that Satan has a strategy to defeat you? Here's the real question. Do you have a strategy to defeat him? Or are we just going to continue to walk around mentally ill and get our butts whipped? Do you have a strategy? Here's a good question as well. If you were Satan, how would you defeat you? Ooh. Oh, man. If you were Satan, how would you defeat you? That's a good question for your quiet time. That's a good question for your quiet time. And so what do we do with all these thoughts that are coming in? that are bombarding us. Maybe thoughts like, I deserve to be happy. What's wrong with that, James? Well, it depends on how you want to be happy. I deserve to be happy by killing my enemies. Well, you might want to rethink that, because you'll be happy sitting in a jail cell. Right? You might have to be happy there. What about this? This life is not worth living. What do you do with these thoughts that Satan is firing at us all the time? What about, I can't tell God how I really feel? Have you ever tried doing that? Telling God how you really feel? I'm not talking about just a little bit, and I'm watching my language because the Almighty's conversing with me. Can I tell you, He knows the language that's already in your head anyway? You might as well let it out. I'm learning that. And God's getting a pretty good dose of James right now, lately. And I promise you, He can handle it, or I would be way dead. Way dead. Because I have been throwing some royal fits to the Lord for things I don't understand. Royal. I'm trying to say the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if that's the way heaven is, then heaven sucks. That's how my prayers have been lately. You might not want to come here anymore, but that's just what's been happening. I've been letting God know. The cross was a stupid idea, and how could you ever let your son die? Those are the conversations I'm having. And you know what God does? He just grabs me up and He scoops me up and He goes, it's okay, buddy. I know you're hurting. It's okay. It's called casting your cares on me. It's better than beating up your spouse or your kids or somebody else at work and all that with all of that junk. And the more that I can give it to Him, guess what happens? I don't have it on me anymore. And then I got to figure out what it is, Lord, what is it that is the real answer? Do you really care? Can I really have joy in the midst of my circumstances? He says, yes. You have no idea how much I love you. You have no idea. And He just grabs hold of you. Like I said, trust me, I would be dead way over and over by now if He couldn't handle it. Well, James, you can't talk to God that way. That's what I thought. Well, you can. He's the one that you do talk to that way. And you let it out. And what I found out is it allows me to love people better. What about this thought? Everybody has it better than me. You know why you think that? Because you're on social media. So that's probably why. You see all those pictures, and man, they're just beautiful. They're so happy. Look at all the pictures. They're happy. What you don't see is how they got those pictures. If you've ever done family pictures, you know. They take a million shots because 999,000 of them are terrible. Well, you weren't smiling, or you looked up, or I was chasing little Billy all around. I couldn't get him, and I was spanking him the first time. Who knows? You know what I'm talking about. We've got this. We have to play this role so that we can look happy. Isn't that the way that it started with Adam and Eve? With a thought? Satan didn't come up there and make them force feed them the apple. What was the thought He put in their head? Did God really say? Well, yeah, He said that. Oh, no, He didn't. He said if we looked at it, touched it, or ate it, we'd die. No. And then Satan comes in, he puts the thoughts in your head. No, God didn't really say that. Surely you won't die. What's going to happen is God knows that if you eat that, you'll be like Him. And He's a terrible God. He wants all the glory for Himself. That's how it started with Adam and Eve. This whole social media stuff is kind of like that. It's just a great big false reality. Now, some of it's good. I get it. You can keep up with people. You can do all this stuff. But most of it is really a false reality. And I'll show you. Media comes from the word medium, which means there's something in between. We were made to be connected to each other. Social media does not connect us to each other because there's a median in between. It's like a highway. In the middle of it, the highway, it's called a median. It separates things. So you really can't have, that's why these kids, they have no idea how to have a relationship. Because it's all on social media. What about for us adults? Look at CNN and Fox. I mean, right now we judge each other based on which one you look at. I walked in their house and they had CNN on. Can you believe that? Know how I feel about that. Because at our house, it's only Fox, I'll tell you. And it's back and forth, and we judge each other based on media. And do you know what the media's job is? To make you feel afraid so you keep watching more. It's this median in between where all of a sudden we're getting fed something by somebody in between other than the real source. And so what they do is they go, oh, it's going to get worse. It's getting better. I mean, this world's going to hell. They've been saying it for about 80 years since TV was started. This is the last week. I'll never forget 25, 30 years ago. Well, if our national debt goes past $1 trillion, we're done. I don't even know where it's at anymore. We can't even count that high. Is it bad? Yes. It is bad, but what they want you to do is they want you to continue to be scared and you'll watch, see what happens next, see what happens next. So there's this median between us and reality, and it gets all screwed up in between. Now, I'm not saying that social media is bad. What I'm saying is if that's your source, you've missed out on something. Because the source is right here. This is the biggest source. This is the source that we need, and I promise you, you will probably have less anxiety and less fear if you stop watching the news. You will. I promise you, you will love it. The first, you might get twitches. I gotta watch it. I don't know what's happening. After a few days, you're kind of like, this is kind of nice. I broke my phone once, and I didn't have it for like 3 or 4 days, and it was like, at first, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't communicate. I can't live. After about 2 or 3 days, I was like, maybe I don't want to get another one. It's kind of peaceful. It's kind of quiet. And so what happens is we start to diagnose ourselves based on social media. You got to be careful around me. I have anxiety and depression. How do you know that? Well, because I was on the internet and they told me. Well, last thing I talked to you is that for 2 days you binge watched Netflix for 2 straight days while drinking energy drinks so that you could stay up to keep watching it. Maybe you're just dehydrated and tired. Really? You think so? Yeah, drink water and sleep. You're going to be just fine. Drink water and sleep. And then my girls were like, Dad, you got to get on TikTok. I was like, what's a TikTok? And they're like, it's this site that you got to go to. The world sends you videos. So I get stupid me. I get on the stupid thing called TikTok. And next thing you know, they're sending you all kinds of stuff that's just disgusting. Borderline pornography. And I'm just like, I can't get them to stop. So I'm texting my girl, I don't know how to make it stop. And I'm like, well, Dad, that's just what happens. They just do that. And you're okay with that? Do you know the people who made it in their country, they don't even let it happen because they know it screws you up. And then after 8 p.m. at night, they shut it down so that you can't get on it because they know that that's smart, but not in America. Man, there's a war going on for our minds. And we're finding ourselves having spiritual, mental illness. So what's the spiritual remedies here? There's nothing wrong with going to doctors. There's nothing wrong with going to counselors and to have medicine and things like that. But I think sometimes we go there first. rather than going to the counselor. Maybe I should ask the counselor which doctor I should go to. Or if I should go to a doctor, maybe, ding, 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 I should get some prayer first. That's not happening. We're not getting prayer. We're not even asking for it. That's one of the coolest things I like after services now, is that it just seems like everybody's all over the place here getting prayer, praying for one another, praying, just asking God to intervene, to do something in our lives. And can I tell you something? He's answering prayers. Oh, it's just a coincidence. It's just weird like that. Sometimes God does stuff like that. Who knows? You know, God is using you guys like crazy. It's crazy. It's beautiful. See, we can only deal with the symptoms. You know what God deals with? The solution. It's kind of like COVID. Treat the symptoms. I'm dying. I'm dying. How do you treat dying? Right? I remember being in that position where I was like, I'm not going to make it. This is killing me. Treat the symptoms. All right, here's a hammer. I don't know what else to do. It hurts. I don't know what else to do. Treat the symptoms. You know what actually works? They wouldn't give us that stuff. That's not where the money is. Oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble. Ooh, we're going to get kicked off the radio. Oh, my goodness. There's things that work. There's things that work that we don't even know about. Tell you what, the battle for our souls can actually affect our bodies physically. They can. It's hard to have a healthy body with sick thoughts. I'm not talking perverted. I'm just talking sick thoughts. Thoughts that are not from the Lord. And you cannot have a victorious life with a victimized set of thinking. You can't. You just can't. I've tried. It just doesn't work. Joshua and Caleb, I don't know if you remember who those two were. They're back in the Old Testament. The Israelites had just been rescued from the Egyptians. They're going into the Promised Land, and they send out 12 spies to check out the Promised Land, right? They send them out there, and they're like, okay, go check it out. It's going to be amazing what we're going to go and inherit. Well, they come back, and 12 of them were sent in. Can you name the other 10? Can you name one of the other 10? No, because they're morons. That's why you can't name them, because they didn't make a difference. All they did was bring back a sick report. But it was really kind of, it was founded on something amazing. Numbers 13, 32 to 33 says this. These 10 came back, here was their report. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. You see the thoughts there? Now, these are the same people who just walked through the Red Sea on dry land, who just saw all of the plagues, saw all of these things. They go in there, and they're like, oh my gosh, they're huge. There is no way that God can help us. Well, didn't he just do some really cool, amazing things? Well, maybe we should just ask him. And Joshua and Caleb come back and they said, yes, they are huge, but look at this fruit. Look at the things that are over there. With our God, we can go do anything. We're going to take them down. It's going to be amazing. But because of the 10 morons, they had to wander in the desert for 40 years, and none of that group of people, that generation, made it to the Promised Land because they believed them. But guess who made it to the Promised Land? Joshua and Caleb. And we still get to talk about them because they said, we can do this. And God said, okay, I'm taking you boys in, and you're leading the group. And we're going to go in there. And then God does another switcheroo on them, and he says, you know what the first battle's going to look like? You're going to march around the city. Then you're going to blow some trumpets. It's just going to fall down. It's going to be wonderful. How many tests can these guys pass? That's a terrible, terrible way to go into war. Can you imagine some people wanting Journey Fellowship to fail? And we're sitting there watching them march around our buildings. What are they doing? Look at them. They're weird. Marching around, well, you wait till the seventh day, buddy. We're going to blow our trumpets and your building's just going to fall. Yeah, all right. Keep them marching until it fell. How do we believe God for these kinds of things? Do we believe him or do we not? Man, we've got to get these thoughts and we got to change some stuff in our thinking. Because if we don't change our thinking, we will never change our behavior. Ever. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know what I see people doing? Trying not to gratify the desires of the flesh. I'm not going to cuss anymore. Good luck with that. It's really difficult. It's really difficult. I'm not going to smoke anymore. There are some people that have been completely healed of smoking just like that. I know some of them. And that's called miracles. And that's wonderful. That is absolutely amazing. But what we try to do is we try to not walk by the desires of the flesh instead of just walking by the Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit, we don't got to worry about the flesh. That's what he just said. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That should be our focus. If our focus isn't on all the sin, we're going to keep failing it and failing it and failing it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, he has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind, not a sick mind. A sound mind. So that we can take these thoughts captive like they're talking about, right? We take these thoughts captive and we can put them against the Word of God and go, what is truth and what is not? God, what is it that you want me to know here? But can I tell you, it requires you taking some time to do that? James, what are you doing? Taking thoughts captive? Because it's very spiritual. You guys are already laughing. You know it's just dumb. Right? Taking thoughts captive. I need to do this. Let's look at Philippians 4, 6 to 7. I'll close this out. Let me get the band back up here. Everybody's like, thank God. This was rough. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says this. Do not be anxious about anything. Good luck. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It says, don't be anxious. Well, how do I not be anxious? Get to praying. That's what he said, but that's the kind of the last thing we do. Don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer, go and make your request known to God. And so then what happens after that? We get this peace. Even if we're in the middle of a war, we get this peace that passes all understanding, and it guards our hearts and our minds. This is Paul talking. He says, do you want to know how to win with your mind? Get to praying. That is a lost art. It used to be people prayed all the time, all together. And I know that I have been part of these meetings now. We're going to have a huge prayer meeting. And we have these prayer meetings and we talk for the first 55 minutes of a 60-minute session. And some of it is not really even prayer requests. It's just, did you hear about so-and-so? They really need prayer, you know. Well, how about we get to praying? And at the end of it, we go, oh, we better close. We're done already. And then we thank God for the day, and then we're out the door. And we got no answers because we didn't pray about anything. Well, y'all look guilty. I'm kidding. And then so at the end of it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See how he did the thoughts there? Whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely. Take your thoughts and put them up against that. He says, there's something to gauge it by right here. If this thought contradicts all of these things here or any of these things in here, you know that you can get rid of it. And we know that Satan will come in with thoughts that sound really spiritual and sound right. So we need the Holy Spirit telling us and talking to us and go, this is not of me. And telling us these things. And He's given us that Spirit so that we can do that. And His peace will come in. And you'll have this peace that will tell you, okay, I've got this peace. I've got this peace about it. God's given me this peace. I've prayed about it. I've had people pray with me about it. I'm going to be okay. Last verse is 12, Romans 12, 1 to 2. And all these should be on your bulletin. You could take them home and have a look at them and use them. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Can I tell you, this is going to take some time. You're going to need to give yourself some time. I apologize, I'm going a little long. You're going to need to give yourself some time. I was on a ranch one time, and they allowed me to put up a feeder. I put up a feeder. I was looking for the perfect place. This is where the deer are coming through. This is where the hog's coming through. This is the spot. I'm putting the feeder right there. So I get my feeder. I load that feeder. I put it right there. I let that thing go off for a week or two. I'm going to come back. I was on 4,000 acres. I couldn't find my feeder. I forgot where I put it. But I knew it was a good spot. I knew it was a good spot, so I had to ask the owner, do you remember where I put my feeder? I can't find it. James, what's your point? That's weird. The point is this. The next time I found my feeder, you know what I did? I took the Polaris and I kept going over that track and over that track and over that track and over that track and over that track. And if you will take your thoughts and keep going back to Christ with them and back to Christ with them and back to Christ with them and back to Christ, and at first you won't be able to because you've got this path that goes over here. But you know what happens when you don't keep going over that path? It grows back up and you never knew it was there. And all of a sudden, these bad habits, just these bad thoughts and these things that are not of the Lord just start to disappear. And they said there's actually a track, a part of your brain that will create a new track. And as you do this and as you practice it, and when you fail, which you will, do not let Satan call you a failure. Because you know what God's telling you? That's progress. That's progress. I've done it where I'm sitting there while I keep screwing it up all the time, Lord. And He's going, no, you're looking at it backwards. What I'm saying, what I'm seeing, James, is progress because you keep bringing it to me and you keep bringing it to me and you keep bringing it to me. That's called progress. I was like, oh, I like that, Lord. You're good at this, aren't you? He's awesome. He just keeps helping us and He keeps helping us. If you want to start a relationship with the Lord, it's Romans 10, 9. We say it every week. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We've been so blessed to have some cool baptisms lately. It has been wonderful to be a part of those things. And there's some more coming up that I hear. And if you want to be baptized, please let us know. Because it's an amazing thing to do it with your family, your spiritual family. But God is for you. He's not against you. But the things that we learned today, now we're responsible for. And let's go out there and let's get the healing that only God can give. Because He is in the business of healing broken hearts. He is in the business of healing our minds. Of healing our bodies. But I promise you, you probably won't get healed if you don't get prayed for. If you want prayer, we got people that are going to be up here at the end of the service, after the service. If you want to come up, if you have somebody you want us to be praying for, let us know. We want to be praying for you. We are expecting God to do some miracles as we pray for people. Other than that, why are we doing this? If we don't have expectations. So I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going. And I don't ever want to stop. Because we're getting freer and freer and freer every day. And so you take this here and take it out there. And you show people who Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are able. We don't have to rely on our own strength. It's by your power that this all happens. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us with our minds so that when Satan attacks us and when he's shooting these fiery darts at us, Lord, that we'll take up the shield of faith and we'll be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one because we have your truth and we have your power. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We thank you for what you're doing in our town. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be known as a praying people. As people who are so connected with you, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, that we have a peace that passes all understanding. So thank you for your gifts. Thank you for the way that you love us and that you never give up on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand for our last song?